Well, good morning, kids. My name is Andrew, and I come from Michigan. Does anybody here know where Michigan is in the state, in the country? This guy does. Any kids in the front row? So in Michigan, it's the one that looks like a hand like this. And if you wonder where I come from in Michigan, or if you ask a Michigander, they put their hands like this, and then they proceed to point to where they are. So I come from an area right there in Michigan. So that's where I come from. Some of you I know well, some of you I don't know so well, but... Let's start by singing a few songs, and then we'll proceed to sing the verse. And then I have some things I want to talk about. I brought something from Michigan, which I'll show you in a box. So, with that being said, who would like to pick a song?
35.
Number 35. Very good. All right. Who has another one we can sing? This little boy over here. Which one would you like? Number 32.
White as snow, no other fount I know.
All right, very good. We'll do one more, and then we're going to... So let's go with the one there.
47?
47? 47. Little boys and girls, I'm so hoping that each one of us can be a jewel in his crown. Let's ask the Lord's help, and then we'll say the verse for a little bit, okay? Our blessed God and our loving Father, we give you thanks for this time. We can be here gathered this morning to sing these songs and to recite this verse that we have. Father, we pray for the little talk we'll have afterward. We just commit this time into thine hands. In your worthy and precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm told we can go over here and get this. Who here would like to say the verse for starters? Do you like to say the verse?
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Very good. Thank you. Would you like to?
Who hath warned you? To flee the wrath to come, Matthew 3:7.
Guy, if you need help, he's good. Anybody else want to say it? You don't have to. Would you like to?
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, Matthew 3:7.
Very nice.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, Matthew 3:7.
Very good.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, Matthew 3:7.
Nice.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Very nice. Would you like to say the verse? No? Would you like to? No? Would you like to? Sure? Okay.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Very good. Would you like to? No? All right. We'll go over to you.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Very nice.
But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Matthew 3:7.
Very good.
Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Good. No?
But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Matthew 3:7.
Very nice. All right.
O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. Matthew 3:7-8.
Very nice.
I am the way, truth, and life. No man should come unto the Father but by me. John 14:6.
Very good.
My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Exodus 33:14.
Nice.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the precious blood of... No,
by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23.
Nice.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Very good. And pass?
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
All right. Pass.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Very nice. All right.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Good.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Matthew 3:7-8.
Nice.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Very nice. Could you say that verse?
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Nice job.
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7.
Nice. One best. All right. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Boys and girls, there's a wrath coming upon this world in judgment for the sin of this world. And I'm going to talk a little bit about warning. Warning. I'm going to talk about a man that I met a while back ago. When we were getting ready to go to this trip, to come over here to the conference, which we're so glad to be at, my wife was packing up and getting all ready to go, and the kids were packing their backpacks and their little things that they wanted to take with them to do at the conference, their coloring books and whatever. And I thought, well, the kids are taking something to the conference. What should I take to the conference? My wife will handle all my clothes, figure all that out, and anything else I need. But I thought I wanted to take something to the conference. And I thought to myself, what would I want to take to a conference? And I thought, I want to bring a pump. Does anybody ever want to bring a pump anywhere? I like to carry pumps with me about everywhere I go. You never know when you need one, right? Pumps are really handy if you have to move some water. It's a lot faster than doing it with buckets. So I carry pumps with me all the time, everywhere I go for work. And it became very evident as my wife emptied out our closets and our dresser drawers that there was not going to be room for my pump. For one, it's kind of heavy, and we're flying on an airplane, so we can't have too much weight. For two, it's made out of cast iron and has lots of oil inside, and I thought that probably wouldn't be good with the people at the gate trying to get it on the airplane, so they probably wouldn't like it that I'm carrying a heavy pump. So it became evident I was not going to bring my pump, so I took the next best thing. I took the box to the pump, and as I was taking the pump out of the box, I thought, well, I can take one thing to represent the pump. You know what this is? This guy seems to know what it is. You know what this is to the pump?
This is the handle.
This is the handle to the pump. So I lifted the pump out, and I thought, I could take that, so I just bent it out and popped it. So this is going to represent our pump. Okay? Now, this may be a very odd question for a Sunday school at a conference, but who can tell me on this box, who can tell me what effluent means? Anybody in the front row can guess what the word effluent means? No takers, huh? Well, to keep it as clean as we can, effluent, every time you brush your teeth and spit down the sink, or you wash your hands, or your mom does laundry, or you flush the toilet, it becomes, what at least we call it, effluent. So basically it's sewage. Everything that goes down the drain is effluent in my world. I work in that world. Stinks sometimes, but anyway, that's what I do for a living. So an effluent pump pumps the sewage to drain fields and moves it from here to there and all different types of things. I like these pumps. These pumps are some of my favorite pumps for a couple reasons. One says made in USA. So it's an American made pump. See that? Made in USA. So I like to support America. Another reason I like the pumps. It's all made out of stainless steel. All the hardware is stainless steel. See this? This is stainless steel. It doesn't rust and corrode because it's kind of sometimes put into a lousy environment, right? Not so fun to be down the bottom of an effluent tank. So it also has stainless steel screws that hold the top down, keep it all the oil inside, right? Keep it all in there so the pump works good and stays nice and lubricated and lasts a long time. I've been putting these pumps in for 12 years now since they came out, and I seldom have a problem with a pump. We have problems with the floats and other things, but the pump is pretty good. Furthermore, I don't know if it says it on there, but they come with quite a warranty too. So at least 3 years I can take it back if something goes wrong with it. And I like that. So I can bring it back if something goes wrong with it. Nothing ever goes wrong because they're good pumps. So I like that a lot. Now I want to tell you about a person that called me. A man called me two Thanksgivings ago, so about a year and a half ago. A man called me and he says, "I have a problem." I says, "Oh." He says, "My drain field, my septic system is not working. Furthermore, my wife has invited all of our family over for Thanksgiving. And that's in 2 weeks." So I thought to myself, ooh, it's a problem. Because if they can't wash their hands and use the bathroom, it's not a very fun Thanksgiving. So, this person's name is Don. So Mr. Don, I said, "Mr. Don, you got a problem and I think I can help you. We have to get a permit with the county, but I know the people there and we can kind of push things through." So I got a permit. And about a week before Thanksgiving, we gave Mr. Don a nice drain field. We put in some nice tanks next to his pool. And everything was going good on the job while we're working there. And the best thing for Mr. Don, his wife was happy. She can have the party for Thanksgiving. But while we're doing the job for Mr. Don, I like to talk to people when I'm there. And I oftentimes start talking about the things of the Lord. And I ask him, "Mr. Don, if you were to die tonight, you know where you'd go? Where would you go if you died tonight? Heaven or hell? Do you know?" Well, that changed Mr. Don's thinking a little bit. He started to think to himself, he says, "I don't know where I would go. If I died tonight, I don't think I would go to heaven," he says. Well, I was very sad to hear that. So then I started to talk to him about the Lord, and I told him verses. I told him the way of salvation, and he told me some good things. He says, "Well, you know what? My wife, she's a Christian. I know she's a Christian. She's wanted me to get saved for a long time." And I said to him, and he also said, "I donate to the church quite a bit. When she has a little thing going on there, I donate to the church my time. I'll go there and help them do some garage sale things or whatever they have going on. They need a little hand. I'll go and help her." So I'm doing some good things for the church. But I gave Mr. Don a gospel message. I told him about John 3:16. I told him all the verses down there. And I warned him of coming doom. He likes to think that he's going to earn his way to God's going to think it's going to be okay. But I told him all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags to God. Any good things you do for the church, anything you think you're going to talk with God about later on and just call it good, God is not interested in that. They're like bringing him filthy rags, and that's in Isaiah 64. Mr. Don said, "I don't want to get saved right now." He knows how to get saved. His wife has been telling him he needs to get saved for many years. But Mr. Don had really no interest in there. In fact, Mr. Don, he started to change the subject a lot. And Mr. Don, we're working next to his pool, putting in effluent tanks. And Mr. Don wanted to change the subject. So what Mr. Don did at his pool, he had a radio system at his pool. So Mr. Don says, "Hey boys, how about some music? Let's get some music going here. Let's make this fun." So Mr. Don, after I had told him about being saved and gave him a warning of coming doom, he turns on some music. And with a skip in his step, he's walking around and he's singing this song. "Day after day, I'm more confused. But I look for the light through the pouring rain. You know that's a game that I hate to lose. I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? I'm beginning to think that I'm wasting time. And I don't understand the things I do. Yeah, the world outside looks so unkind. Now it's up to you to carry me through." And thanks for the joy you've been giving me. I want you to know that I believe in the song, the rhyme and the rhythm and harmony. You're helping me along. You're making me strong. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll. Mr. Don wanted to sing this song as opposed to listen to the message I had. He changed the whole thing. Well, that's a sad thing that he had no interest in it. And boys and girls and the younger people, be careful what you listen to, because this kind of music and this kind of thinking will make you harder and harder and harder to accept the Lord when you get older, because it changes your thinking. Well, I want to talk about the rich man and Lazarus. That's in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. I'll just read it and then I'll make some comments on the end. There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, boys and girls, this is a very somber parable or a story. And the rich man, he lived in this life. The Bible says he fared sumptuously every day. You know, it doesn't say that he had a nice party on his birthday. He really had a good time on his birthday. In fact, it doesn't say that the rich man had a great party on all the holidays. He had a good party and dressed up all the time, every day. This rich man, he lived it up. And he didn't appear to have too much thought of the future, because if his brothers had the law and Moses, the prophet and Moses to read, that probably means he did too, but he didn't want to think about it. And then there was Lazarus. He wants Lazarus to go to his brothers and at least warn them about this. But they have the Bible, and how much more responsible are we? For we even have the New Testament and more of the story than they did then. So there's a warning that goes out to each of us not to go to this place of torment that he wanted Lazarus to go and talk to the people on earth about. We have it here, the Word of God telling us about this place of torment. We do not have to go there if we put our trust in the Lord as our Savior. Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 27, I want to read a verse there, and then we're going to tell a little bit more of the story. Hebrews 9, I think I said 23, or 27 and 28. Hebrews chapter 9 and 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. The Lord Jesus came into this world, as Mr. Tim talked about last night, and bore a horrible punishment for sin. He did not deserve to be treated the way he was, but he came in love for each one of us to pay a price of sin that we owed. We have to ask him to save us and believe in our hearts, and he will save us from that sin because he already paid for it. He is a substitute for us. So we have to put our trust in him. Now I want to talk a little bit more about this Mr. Don. Okay? So after we got it all done, after Mr. Don was happy with the job, everything looked good, Mr. Don had a party, Thanksgiving, everything went fine. I had told Mr. Don, because I cared for Mr. Don, I'm going to continue to pray for you that you will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Well, I continue to pray for Mr. Don along with many others that I've worked for. And this spring, I got a call from Mr. Don. Mr. Don said, "Hey, Andy, the alarm is going off on my effluent tank." That's strange. Why would the alarm go off? The only reason that an alarm would go off in an effluent tank is if the effluent is too high for the pump. Something's going on. So I talked to Mr. Don. I said, "Mr. Don, it's simple. These pumps are really good. These pumps have no trouble. It's got to be the electrical. Something tripped. There could have been a thunderstorm, popped a breaker. Who knows what could have happened? But something's wrong with the electrical." So Mr. Don went down to the basement and he checked all the breakers and he looked around. He said, "Everything's fine. There's power. It's all working." I was starting to get a little worried. "Oh, that's strange. Maybe something's wrong in the little electrical connection." So I said, "Mr. Don, can you do me a favor? Can you go get an extension cord and plug it in your kitchen? And then roll it out there and plug the pump in directly. Let's bypass all the electrical." And I said, "Also, take a drill out there and plug it in there. Make sure you have power at your power source, and then we're going to know if the pump is working." So Mr. Don did that, and he called me back and says, "Andy, I got power there, but the alarm is still going off." I thought to myself, something's wrong. So I told Mr. Don, "Okay, I'll come over and I'll take a look at it." So I went to Mr. Don's house. I opened his gate to go by the pool there, and I opened up there and I took my drill and I opened up the screws on the effluent tank. And I opened the lid up and I took a big breath. And then I looked down in there and guess what I saw? I saw my reflection. I've looked in hundreds of septic tanks and I have never seen my reflection. Something is really wrong in that effluent tank. Well, I put on my big rubber gloves like this and I undid the union and I pulled out that pump. And when I set the pump on the side of the lid there, I was really stumped. The stainless steel screws that hold the top down, that keep all the oil in, were gone. The screws were gone. Furthermore, the handle that you hold the pump up with, it was gone too. Well, now where could that have gone? I could see all in the effluent was oil. The oil had come out of the pump. Something had gone terribly wrong in that effluent tank. But I knew that this pump had a good warranty. Thought, well, something happened. What had happened was there was such toxic gases in that tank that the gases that were in there attacked anything that was metal and dissolved it. So the whole lid would just come off and the little stubs of screws were left down there. The handle that you would hang on to was just a little piece of rust, and when you touched it, it broke. Something had gotten into that tank. Mr. Don's water in that area is not really good, combined with all the chemicals you use in your soaps and things and the medicine you take sometimes can create a terrible environment in tanks, and it attacks the metal in there. Well, I knew what the problem was. It was the pump. So I said, Mr. Don, I'm going to have to get you another pump. Mr. Don told me, well, we got to do what we got to do because it's getting higher every day. So he said, I said, I don't know if this is going to be covered by warranty. So he said, well, we got to do what we got to do. So if I have to pay for a new pump, I have to pay. It's only been a little over a year. That was back in April, he called me. So I said to him, well, I'll go try to figure it out. So I took that pump, which smelled very bad, and I put it in the back of my truck, and I shut the doors of my service truck, and I locked it down, and I got into my truck, and I drove all the way down to the place where I buy pumps. The place I buy pumps is called Aetna Supply, and I have a really good friend there whose name is Chip. Chip's a really nice guy. I've been talking to Mr. Chip about being saved many times, and Mr. Chip needs the Lord, but we're working on him. So we went to Mr. Chip, and I opened the doors when I got in his parking lot, and I said, Mr. Chip, come here, I got to show you something. Never seen this before. He said to me, boy, does that stink. He said, what happened to that pump? I said, you sold it to me a year and a half, just over a year ago, you sold it to me, and it's completely junk. It's all dissolved. Anything that was above the water line, all the metal was gone. The screws in the bottom that were under the effluent were fine, but it was up in that gas chamber where it was bad. So I said, Mr. Chip, is this going to be covered by warranty? And Mr. Chip did this. The warranty only covers manufacturer's defects. Something happened to this pump that is not going to make it eligible for a warranty. So now we have a problem because the pump is not covered by warranty. He wants to pay for a pump, but he doesn't know what to do. So I talked to Mr. Chip, and Mr. Chip said to me, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to raise the floats up so the pump is continuously underwater. And everything that's in that gas chamber will have to be plastic, zip ties, or something. No metal, because it will get eaten in that bad environment. But Mr. Chip said, so I said, well, what do you want me to do with the pump, Mr. Chip? He said, get it out of here. I said, okay, can I pull over to your dumpster and throw it in? He says, no. That stinks so bad, it'll smell the neighborhood up. So I had to shut the doors on my truck again, and I wound up taking it home. But Mr. Chip said, come here. Mr. Chip took me into his little building there where he sells lots of pumps and things. And he said to me, Andy, your customer is my customer, and we want a happy customer. So I said to him, he said, Andy, I want to pay for the pump. I want our company to cover the cost of this pump. I said, you don't have to do that, Mr. Chip. That's very nice. He said, no, Andy, no. I want to cover the cost of this pump. I said, but the homeowner, he knows that he might have to be on the hook for this one and pay for it himself. He says, I know that, Andy. You told me that. But I want our company to cover it. I said to Mr. Chip, will you do me a favor? Will you take me into your office and write two invoices. I said to him, let's go in there. So we sat down, and this is what we wrote up. I made a copy of it before I gave it to him. This is an invoice. Pump defective. due to water quality at home. So I had him write that up. No warranty coverage for the replacement cost. Costs to be covered by others. So I says, will you print two off? Print two off. I said, are you still willing to pay for the other pump? And he said, yeah, Andy, I'll pay for it. So I said, will you write on an invoice? Paid in full. R. His name's Chip. I don't know what his full name is. We call him Chip. So Mr. Chip gave me two invoices, and I said, okay, Mr. Chip. I says, I'm going to take this to the man, and I'm going to give it to him, and I'm going to give him the option which one he wants. So I put the pump, the brand new Liberty Sump Effluent pump, in the back of my pickup truck, and I drove on my way back to Mr. Chip's house. And Mr. Chip was very happy that I had showed back up, because the water kept going up higher and higher, and the alarm kept going off all the time. And I put the new pump in there, and I configured the float so everything that's in that gas chamber is below the water line, so we don't have the stainless steel get eaten away in the gas. And Mr. Don was so happy. He said, Andy, I want to pay for it. I want to pay for it. I said, come here, Mr. Don. Mr. Don, remember, he knows that I had talked to him about the Lord before, and I had warned him about coming judgment. Mr. Don came over to the truck, and I said, Mr. Don, I said, I have two invoices for you. I want you to select which one you want. I said, this one right here says all the things I just listed. You are going to owe $596.39. That is the cost of the pump. I said, but this one here has the same total on it, but it has paid in full. Paid in full. Mr. Don, choose. Which one would you take? You take that one? Do you think that was a good decision? That's a very good decision, boys and girls. Well, Mr. Don, he wanted to pay for this one. And as his hand reached for the one that would make him pay, I said, no, take this one. Take this one. This is a whole lot better. This one you have to pay for. But this one you don't have to pay for. It's covered. The company paid for it. He says, Andy, I can't do that. I says, you can. It's simple. Just take it. In faith, take it. It's going to all be covered. Are you sure? Take it and find out. So Mr. Don took the one that said paid in full. Mr. Don made a good decision to have it covered by him. And hopefully Mr. Don doesn't have a problem again with there. But boys and girls, the inside of that septic tank, that effluent tank, is a lot like sin. We are all bound by sin. We had last night from Mr. Tim about how it passed from one to the other all the way down. We are all sinners. God is offering each of us a paid in full pardon for our sin because he paid our price already. All we have to do is accept the paid in full thing by faith. We come to him and take in faith. Mr. Don has not gotten another invoice. It's taken care of. It's a choice he had to make. He could have refused. But I told Mr. Don, now that you made a good choice with your pump, what about salvation? God is offering you a free pardon for your sin. He said, oh, I know he is. I know. I said, Mr. Don, I love you. God loves you and cares for you. Your wife loves you and cares for you. I've been praying for you. Why won't you get on your knees? I said, right now in heaven, one is waiting with a pen in hand to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life that Mr. Tim talked about last night. Is your name written there? He said, my name's not there. I said, right now, you could be saved. and your name written in there. So you will not have to face this place of torment that we talked about with the rich man and Lazarus. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I just want to read one verse. We're getting low on time here, and I have one more thing I got to talk about. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and 19. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, in the middle of the verse it says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. Boys and girls, let's choose life. Let's not be like Mr. Don and have excuses or be hardened in his ways, set in his ways. When you get older, it is harder and harder, and pride comes in, and you are stuck in this way, and when you sing songs like we read, it is harder to be saved. Boys and girls, three Saturdays ago, I texted Mr. Don. I said, Mr. Don, here, I'll just read you the text that I wrote. I screenshotted it, and I printed it off. I said, hey, Don, it's Andy. Just checking in to see how things are going with you. Is the new pump working fine? Mr. Don responded, yes, the new pump is working fine. Thanks to you and your generosity and love for others. Thank you for caring. I said, glad to hear. I've been thinking and praying for you a lot lately. Have you gotten saved yet? Boys and girls, have you gotten saved yet? Time is running out in this world. It is a scary thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Judgment is about to come upon this world. Can you read? I want you to read what Mr. Don texted me back. You read that little white part right there. Read it. Oh, here, hang on, let me get the mic. Read that little white part for me right there. This is what Mr. Don said after I asked him if he had gotten saved. Go ahead.
Thank you much for caring, but that has not happened.
Thank you much for caring, but that has not happened. What a sad text to receive. Boys and girls, I hope that each one of you, salvation has happened for you. I texted him back. I says, okay, I hope it happens soon. It would give me no greater joy than to receive a text from you saying that you'll be in heaven with me someday. I really do care for you, and I will continue to pray for you. Boys and girls, I am positive you have grandparents that are praying for you. You have parents, relatives, that are praying for you. Brethren in the meetings, praying for your salvation. I hope that nobody here can say that it has not happened. How do we get saved? We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Drew, can you come here? Where's Drew? What is trust? Faith, putting our faith in that it's going to happen. This is my little boy, Drew. It wasn't very many years ago, and this was my little baby, this tall. When he got to be 3, 4, and 5 years old, I would take little Drew with me to work, and I drive a big front-end loader sometimes, and I move dirt all over, and I have a lot of fun, and I like to have fun with my little boy, Drew. So I took little Drew, and we stick him up in the loader, and then I would climb up the ladder and get in there, and we would drive around and dump dirt into the hopper, and we would go over here and load a truck and have all kinds of fun. He loved it. He loves a two-lever loader. If you're ever in a loader, he loves the two-lever loaders. Not a one. He likes a two-lever loader. Just by the way. But Drew liked to play a game. When we would get done working, Drew and I kind of created a game. It's called Chainsaw. Have you guys ever played the game Chainsaw? Oh, it's all the rage. It's so fun. What you do is you take the little boy that you're working with and you climb, you turn the machine off and you climb out the door and you climb down the ladder all the way down to the ground, and you leave your little boy up in the loader cab. And when you play chainsaw, you have to have a sharp chainsaw. And Drew stands, he would stand on the step of the loader way up high, and he would stand there like a tree, really stiff and tree. And I would pretend to start a chainsaw, and I'd pretend to cut the tree down. And Drew would, after a little while, he'd start making noises. And he would fall as straight as he can, and then just at the last minute, I'd have to catch him. That's the game Chainsaw. If you haven't played it, it's so much fun. He always wanted to play Chainsaw. Well, it's faith. He's falling out of that loader, knowing that his daddy's down there and going to catch him. I caught Drew every time. Whenever Drew would pretend to be a tree and pretend he's being cut down, I would wait and I would catch him. Drew got a little bit bigger and it got a little bit harder. But to use an example, I think we're going to take Drew and put him up on top of here and we'll play chainsaw. Does that sound fun?
Yeah.
Does anybody want to see that? Drew, can we play chainsaw with you?
No, I don't think that's a good idea, Dad.
Why not?
Well, I'm a little bigger than I was.
He's a little bit bigger. Yeah, he's grown up a little bit. All that oatmeal we eat. Drew is wiser now. He thinks he knows better. I don't think I could catch him. In fact, the roles have reversed now. He now helps me up into the loader because I'm getting older. But Drew is older now, and he's like, I don't know. He's got a lot of years. When he was younger, by faith, he would say, yes, my daddy will catch me. But now that he's older, he's not going to want me to catch him. He's got his own ways. I'll get down myself. I've got my own way. You can sit down now. Boys and girls, we come to Jesus while we're young. Mr. Don has a hardened heart. I hope Mr. Don gets saved soon. I wanted to sing. I'm just going to read it because we're out of time. I wanted to sing number 25. Maybe we will. Number 25, the last verse. We're a little bit over time, but we'll hurry. 20, last verse. Boys and girls, I hope that nobody has what's said here, salvation has not happened, and their cry would be just too late. Let's pray. Our God and our loving Father, we give you thanks for your goodness to us, for your grace and your mercy to us. We thank you for the pardon that you offer each and every one of us. Father, we pray that if there are any here who have not reached out and taken that paid in full pardon, that they would do so soon. Just pray for every child that's here, Lord. Each one is a could be a jewel in your crown. We would also lift up this man, Mr. Don, once again unto you, Father. Soften his heart, Lord, that he would be saved, that salvation would happen to him. Commit the rest of this day into thine loving hand. In your worthy and precious name we pray. Amen.